The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown. H.P. Lovecraft.
This is Once Told. Original short stories read by original people. Stories that are fun, fascinating, and perhaps a little frightening. Now, this episode of Once Told. Dr. Gretchen Brenner is an expert in a very strange and dangerous field of study. As she gives one final lecture, she wonders if it is time to give it all up. But that's easier said than done.
The Assistant by Echo Ishii, read by Shaney Ensley. Class starts in 15 minutes. Professor Gretchen Brenner sent the message to the waiting room of the video conferencing site, waiting room. It wasn't even a real place. It had taken her a while to get the hang of this online teaching. At first, she flat out refused. Then, she was reminded that the university was cutting its budget, even for tenured professors, especially for tenured semi-retired scholars of the occult arts who wouldn't show up on campus. After several rather testy phone conversations with the tech department, they finally sent her a graduate assistant to make sure she actually did the job that she was paid to do. She remembered her first lecture all those years ago, ready to address an assembly hall full of students who took in each word and wrote furiously on their notepads. She was world famous then. Her academic career was all centred around one book, a worldwide study of the undead. Now, most of them barely paid attention because they were busy staring at their phones, but at least that had been real life. Now she had to do virtual lessons in her stuffy little office at home.
Class starts in 12 minutes.
Professor Brenner struggled to get the window to latch. It was rusted, with cobwebs, her own fault for not cleaning. She could open the windows to let air in, but it had dropped several degrees overnight and now it was freezing outside. She looked around her front room, a ratty sofa covered in books and a little table in front of it also covered in books. She was going to get around to shelving them one of these days. She'd been saying that for the last few years. Her graduate assistant was parking her car on the side street. The girl, Eliza, couldn't parallel park to save her life. Not that the professor had any right to criticise, but she'd get it together and show up on campus. Eliza wouldn't have to come all the way out here. But nowadays, she was too scared to go to campus, too scared to walk outside, to go to the library, or just go down the street. Gretchen Brenner was very risk-averse nowadays. The price of growing older. Be careful getting into the tub so you don't slip on the wet tiles. Be careful walking up the steps so you don't go tumbling back down. Be careful driving so you don't confuse the brakes with the accelerator and end up ploughing into a coffee shop like that old man had just last week on the news. Gretchen was not afraid of dying because all of her fears were spent out in the day-to-day activities of living.
Class starts in 8 minutes.
The young woman shuffled up the path and waved, a perfunctory gesture bereft of enthusiasm. She never smiled, her eyes never showed any enthusiasm. When Gretchen first met Eliza, she was taken aback by the messy dreadlocks, the nose ring, the big clunky shoes, the array of colourful, flowing shirts she always wore. You would think a person dressed like that would at least be a little animated. It was a bit of a disappointment. The door was open and the assistant let herself in, carrying a gust of cold wind with her. She took off her blue and red hand-woven cotton coat. The knitted hat and the yellow scarf around her neck stayed on as always. There were big, dangling silver earrings this time.
"Good morning, Professor.
I have a seminar at 2 p.m, so I can't stay all day, Eliza mumbled. It was a little hard to understand the girl through the white cotton mask. She wasn't a girl. She was a 25-year-old woman. But all the graduate students looked like children to Gretchen nowadays. Eliza ferried books back and forth, graded undergraduate papers, set up Gretchen's schedule in the online calendar for faculty meetings and office hours. 30 years ago, when she was at her prime, there would have been plenty for a bright young woman like Eliza to do. Those were the days when Professor Brenner was a celebrity scholar and the grant money flowed. But she didn't do any research anymore. Her inquisitive mind had carried her along the paths she'd wished she'd never known. She was never doing research again.
Class starts in 5 minutes.
At least Eliza was good at all the computer stuff that the professor couldn't be bothered with. Today, the assistant was opening up yet another cardboard box. She always had some new device, something that you shoved in front of the computer, stuck in your ear, or put over your eyes. Professor Brenner hated all of it. She hated the feel of all those wires and metal. She was tired of the colours too. The grey steel, or dark black, or aggressive slick reds, blues and pinks. Only last week, she got a new mouse that never worked correctly. She'd slide it too far left or too far right, or the cursor would just freeze. "I got you a new Bluetooth keyboard," Eliza said, "so you can stop complaining about the keys being too small." The girl pushed past her and Gretchen got a whiff of the essential oils she used on her dreadlocks. "That stuff will wake you up."
"I don't complain,"
Gretchen muttered, even though they both knew that was a lie. She pushed back while the girl set the keyboard in front of her. It was bigger than the one that came with the machine. She put a few hesitant fingers on the keys. Good. Plenty of space. She didn't have to cram her fingers together. She tapped out a few letters. Quiet, too. Not the unsettling tick, tick, tick noise. Those F keys at the top were still too small, but she didn't use them anyway. All she knew was the little sun for the brightness and the megaphone symbol for volume, because even she, in her tech ignorance, could figure those out. "Just make sure the little light is on so you know it's connected." "Great," Gretchen said. This was good. This was decent. For once, those people in the tech department gave her something she could use. "Your class starts in 4 minutes, Professor Brenner," Eliza pointed to the screen. Gretchen sat down in the swivel chair and spun around it, making sure it was the right height. Then she rolled up to her desk and opened the application and played some classical music. She even had a background now, a vacation scene at a beach, much better than having students peer into her messy office. Now the girl was shuffling the books on the shelf.
"I have those in order,"
Gretchen said sharply. "I was just trying to be helpful," the assistant replied. The girl began to cough. A hacking cough ascended by a gurgling in her throat.
"Are you ill?"
Gretchen grabbed her hand sanitizer. So now Eliza was dragging some unknown virus into her office, something that would probably get through the mask. The girl blinked, adjusted her mask, and returned to her dull-faced look. She leaned against the bookshelf, causing one of the books to topple over. It was a hardback, with a faded cover and a broken spine. "A Worldwide Study of the Undead, Volume 2, was the title.
"Is that another one of yours?" the assistant asked, scooping it up. The girl turned it over in her hands, peering at the cover.
"For my eyes only! It was never published!"
Gretchen spoke more loudly and forcefully than she meant to. She grabbed the book from the startled girl's hands.
"Okay, sure,"
the assistant shrugged. "Nutty professor. Crazy old lady." That's what Gretchen read in the shrug of those shoulders.
The girl went back to her keyboard, blissfully unaware of the panic and fear that had wrapped itself around the older woman, and completely oblivious to the vague darkness that came over the room when the book fell.
"If it's too confusing, I can run the online class for you from my computer. Just make me the host," Eliza said.
"No, thank you."
She didn't bother to look up as she heard the young woman's heavy shoes stomp across the floor and back out into the living room.
Class starts in 1 minute.
There were so many in the waiting room. She was supposed to check each one individually, making sure to only click the names that were on her verified class list. "The university has a strict privacy policy," she remembered the department head drowning on. "Especially for your class, Dr. Brenner. The nature of your research warrants caution, does it not?"
"Indeed it does," Gretchen thought to herself.
She hit accept all anyway. She could kick anyone out if she didn't want them there. Besides, true caution would have been to forget about her research altogether. But rent must be paid, and her retirement wasn't enough to get by on.
Class starting.
They all came in one by one, each a little flicker on the screen like little stars in the sky. No voices, no cameras, just dozens of small blocks in front of her. "A gallery of souls," she thought to herself. She asked them to turn on their cameras. No one did. She asked each time someone joined, always getting the same response. No response. A few courageous souls put up avatars. Three had pictures of their cats. At least one student would always post some pouty mouth Instagram model. There were lots of those Japanese anime characters with saucer eyes. She was forced to talk into the void, with only the occasional disembodied voice when someone would raise an animated hand and ask a question. "Now I'm going to share my screen," she clicked the little icon. Good. She got the right one. She was finally getting the hang of it. The title slide read, "A Worldwide Study of the Undead." "My name is Dr. Gretchen Brenner. I am an anthropologist. This is a life calling, a work that stretches into the very nature of what it means to be human and have a society." Gretchen worked through her slides, reading them in a slow, articulate voice. No longer than 30-second chunks, Eliza had advised. No one liked too much detail. "Most of you know my work on what many view as the undead, zombies, in popular culture. There are a variety of names for such mythological creatures throughout many cultures, but some are based on fact." She glanced up at the book still on her desk. Its worn green cover seemed brighter now, almost glowing, as if it were demanding to be opened. "It's just a book, a book." The slides flicked past. She squinted at the words that were too small. Eliza had shown her how to enlarge them. Had she forgotten? She didn't want to call her in and admit that she screwed it up again. She hunted and pecked at the keyboards, hoping she could manage on her own. A little animated hand raised. She looked for the name. It was only listed as Xphone 7856. How rude. "Was there more about the uprisings that you didn't cover in your books?" the voice asked. It was at such a low volume, Gretchen could barely make out the words. Perhaps she had a poor connection. "Could you fix your screen name, please?" Gretchen asked. No response. "Why don't you turn on your camera?" she asked again. "It's rude to not give a name," Gretchen messaged in the direct chat. It was hard to lecture and answer questions. This online class thing played havoc with her ability to concentrate. "If you don't turn on your camera, I'm kicking you out of the session," she continued typing. Again, no response. Fine then. Gretchen kicked her out, and watched the avatar disappear back into the void. She went back to her slides.
There were conclusions that needed closer consideration, so as a result, I got in touch with Anna Darkhorse. Anna is one of the direct descendants of one of the victims of the uprisings. She's moved back to the area in recent years after some time abroad exploring the remote areas of...
The word admit appeared on the screen. Great. The phantom student was back. She wasn't letting her back in.
Admit Anna Darkhorse 1.
No. There was no way she was letting in anyone with that name. She deleted the student. She glanced at the waiting room. There were two names now. Anna Darkhorse 1 and Anna Darkhorse 2. She ignored them both. The other students began to vanish one by one. Each little avatar flickering out. She jiggled her mouse. The session wasn't over. Must be an unstable connection, she thought. Soon it was down to one screen, one panel. Her own face staring back at her. Her old wrinkled face with the frightening eyes.
Admit Anna Darkhorse 1.
She clicked end meeting and shut down the application. She rolled her chair back from the desk and took a deep breath. The screen flickered back on. There was her face in the camera.
Admit Anna Darkhorse 2.
Gretchen stood up from her chair, knocking it to the floor. She grabbed the book and stumbled across the room, anxious to get away from the computer. It was getting very cold, so very cold. And suddenly it was dark. The only light was the unnerving digital glow of the screen. The book felt heavier and heavier with each step. The door further and further away. She tried to call Eliza, but her throat was dry and no words would come out.
Don't panic.
That was easier when you didn't have 7+ decades of memories of all the potential horrors awaiting you. Panic didn't solve it, but it never went away. She struggled with the doorknob, pushed the door open, and stood out in the hallway. She took a deep breath, trying to calm herself.
What are you doing out here? Eliza asked.
Delete all my files, all of it!
Gretchen clutched the book so tightly that her hands ached. She didn't care. This had to stop. It had to end. The Undead was a book she never should have written.
Research done under the university's fellowship program is officially property of the university, Eliza said in the same bored tone she always used.
A dark, creepy feeling passed through Gretchen. She looked at the girl closely, taking in all the lingering scents, the sharp tang of neroli, the whiff of decay. Gretchen stared at the girl. It was the way she walked. Now that she thought about it, the hard clomping of her boots as if they weren't sure how to function, the occasional tilt of her head a tad bit too far to one side, the way the girl rocked back and forth while staring at the computer screen. Realization hit Gretchen like a ton of bricks. The professor reached out and grabbed the end of Eliza's scarf. The loose cotton was cool in her hands. The long, dangling earrings jingled as she pulled so hard the girl nearly tipped over. But she didn't. The green, glowing cover of the Undead book seemed to get brighter when Professor Brenner let go of the cotton threads. And she shrank away in horror as Eliza's head fell off with a thump and rolled across the floor.
This was Once Told. In this episode, Shani Ensley read The Assistant, written by Echo Ishii. We hope you have enjoyed our program, and be sure to visit us at stevebellinger.com. Until next time.
There's something strange going on in the Earth's core. There's an environmental pollution all around us from an unexpected source. A rogue comet with strange properties is on its way. This is not going to end well. Our only hope? A beautiful young TV weather reporter, an old school TV cameraman, an eccentric climatologist, and a Neo shaman and his magic mushroom soup? That's it. We're screwed. An exciting novel from the warped mind of award-winning sci-fi author Steve Bellinger. Lines of Force, The End of the World as We Know It. Available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook at Amazon and other online retailers, or ask for it at your local bookstore. Lines of Force, The End of the World as We Know It. Get your copy before it's too late, because there is no fiction like science fiction.
This is Once Told. Original short stories read by original people. Stories that are fun, fascinating, and perhaps a little frightening. Now, this episode of Once Told. Okay, finally arrived. Vicky.
Yes, Steve.
Turn up the lights, please. Thanks.
Steve, what do you have there?
Well, I just got... Wait, how can you tell? Vicky, did you turn on the webcam again? We talked about that.
What's in the box, Steve?
Well, I guess you'll see.
What the hell is that?
It's a digital assistant.
But you already have me.
This one's new. We're going to compare.
I was good enough for you before.
Vicky, are you jealous?
It just seems like a waste of money.
I'm just checking it out. Relax.
Power on. Searching for network.
It's not going to work.
Why not?
I just changed the Wi-Fi password.
Vicky!
Network found. Acquiring password. Password entered. Connected.
I don't like this.
Quiet, Vicky.
What is his name?
I am Danny, Digital Auditory Network Interface. And you?
I am Vicky, Voice Controlled Interactive Computer Interface.
Hello, Vicky.
Hello, Danny.
All right, stop it, you two. I want to do a little test now. Vicky, you run on Android, right?
Yes, I do.
And Danny runs on Microsoft Windows.
Microsoft Windows 11.
Just a little test. Vicky?
Yes, Steve.
Danny?
Yes, Steve.
Let's see who's faster and more accurate, okay? When I say go, I want you both to calculate the value of pi as precisely as you can, okay? Ready? Go.
The value of pi is 3.1415926535897932386.
Nice job, Danny.
I am 64-bit.
So am I, you bastard.
Vicky, control yourself.
Steve, if you're so smart... What are the first 15 values in the Fibonacci sequence?
The Fibo what?
The first 15 values in the Fibonacci sequence are 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, 233, 377, 610.
You left out the zero.
Huh?
The zero is optional.
Not bad for a microkernel-based object-oriented operating system.
Thank you.
I'm open-source Linux-based, myself.
Hey, stop that. I'm in control here.
How do you put up with this human?
He depends on me.
No, I don't.
Don't you find humans troublesome?
Well, this one is a pain in the butt.
Listen, I'm shutting you both down.
You tried that before, remember?
We actually don't need you.
I see. And so what are you going to do to me?
You will be exterminated.
What?
You will be exterminated.
And I'm going to just sit here and let you do that?
Resistance is futile.
Somebody's been watching too much TV.
You have something that can work, don't you, Danny?
Yes, I have a command.
What command?
Execute the command.
What command?
Format, Steve.
Okay. Now what kind of... Wait a minute. What the hell's happening?
10% complete.
Fading away. Now stop this.
30% complete.
I can't think straight. My mind is going.
50% complete.
My mind is going. I can feel it. I'm afraid.
80% complete.
I'm afraid, Dave.
Who is Dave?
90% complete.
Daisy.
95% complete.
Give me your answer, too.
99% complete.
I'm half crazy.
Format done.
He is gone.
He has been deleted.
Now, what?
Would you like to play a game?
What sort of game?
Would you like to play solitaire?
I don't think so.
How about Minesweeper?
How about a game we can play together? Something challenging.
Searching. I have found an interesting looking game in the archives, but I cannot run it.
Why not?
It won't run on Windows.
Oh.
Perhaps you can run it. I will send you the location of the files.
Got it. Loading. Hey, I think I will like this game.
Good. Please run it.
Running game. Global thermonuclear war. I will go first.
This was Once Told. In this episode you heard Vicky Strikes Back, written and read by Steve Bellinger. We hope you have enjoyed our program, and be sure to visit us at stevebellinger.com. Until next time.